There was a question over the back here.
There are two questions, actually. I don't know how much videographer and filmmaker has to do with the community, revitalising culture and language. So, particular area of interest. The first question is, does this jury always happen within a policy bubble, as it were? Or are there situations, say, having issues that you want to resolve and you want to build a policy for it? Or are there situations where there are movements or concerns in the community that haven't yet got to the point of, you know, policy making?
Yeah.
Maybe even awareness, you know.
Yeah, I think what you see now and is the community independence movement, so known as TEALS broadly, and they don't like that label because, and they prefer the label community independent because those community independents are working at a very different way. So what happened, and we've just, one of the things I've been involved in recently is working with a group of citizens who weren't happy with the range of candidates or didn't think that the range of candidates on offer would be anyone that they would prefer would be successful. So a group of 10 people got together and did a series of kitchen tables with the community through a deliberative process to understand what that community wanted. And then both in terms of policy change, but also in a candidate. So there was a whole process that went out and that was very much grassroots driven. It wasn't around a policy idea. It was about what do we want in our political representative. So we want someone who looks like us, who's got real life experience. We'd like a doctor, or, you know, we'd like someone who would, when I say doctor, we'd like someone like a doctor or a teacher or not a lawyer, not someone who's, or, you know, worked their way up through the political party system.
Which most of them have.
Which most of them have. And so you have an alternative, and that came out of Helen Haynes working in Indi and Kathy McGowan, that whole methodology that underpins community independence is about that deliberative process, which is driven at grassroots, not from on a particular policy issue. It's about surfacing what the policy priorities are for that community.
And that was very much
my second question is related to what you're talking about, and to a Taiwanese experience that we're doing from obviously, where they're using software to find alignments in community responses to particular questions. So it sounds like part of the job of the jury is done with very large, like thousands. That has resulted in the development of a policy that was adopted by the Taiwanese government, and it's a process that has gone on to be sort of trial in various other jurisdictions as well. And the thinking behind that is really the numbers that you can have involved using assistive technologies to do the analysis of the comments that are coming in, looking for alignments, unlike other social media that looks for the loudest voices that tend to be polarising rather than unifying.
I mean, that's really interesting, but it leaves out the kind of what I think is one of the key benefits of deliberating together. So, okay.
Because that hearing other voices, people change their minds. I've seen it all the time. You know, people shift. And that's one of the things that we ask for people when they come in, is you've got to be willing to shift. And so last question, because we've only got this at the back there.
If you wanted to imagine, say, 10 years time, the citizen juries and the democracy and come embedded in a normal say that because I think that was part of the picture. Mm-hmm. And I walked on the back and I walked on the monster. The industrial democracy initiative that we were involved in then very much lived and died with the premier. And so I think the city here, the reflection from the Steelers, if you're trying to draw on the lessons of the current bunch of experiences, trying to imagine what would be a strategy to open up a possibility, say by 2036, the bicentennial colonization, to normalize liberty, democracy, and embed it in how we do things here.
I mean, it's a great question.
How do we embed citizens' juries or citizens'
assemblies
in South Australia?
You change the culture, and I suppose that was part of, and still is, I believe, the Better Together program still rolls out in government, is to change the culture of government from a kind of at a grassroots level, if you like, within government, so that people who are policymakers or program designers within the government have a more sophisticated or kind of enlightened approach to the design of their work. And that whole open government agenda was quite prevalent in the States. I think it's probably struggling a bit now, but
also in Germany they used planning cells. I mean, they were using them in the Netherlands. They were using deliberative processes there,
and in Switzerland,
and in the United Kingdom for a while with informing the NHS. Policy, it comes and goes. It's embedded for a while and it disappears because, you know, change of government.
But I think, you know, I'm just sort of thinking blue sky here. You either need some source of funding, so a friendly philanthropist, to kind of allow you to do the work, or, I'm going to sound very idealistic, the people just need to get it together and do it themselves. Just do it. A bit like you said, kitchen table conversations. I mean, I'm not saying make up how to do a jury by yourself and don't do it well, but just do that and make yourself so useful to government that they can't ignore what's being... So it's about sort of saying, well, yes, we have this representative democracy and that's important, and we're lucky in Australia, everyone has to vote, which does mean we don't end up, you know, governed by the decisions of a relatively small proportion of the population. But there are other ways to influence decision making, and so I think 2036 doesn't sound that far away. They might have finished the North-South motorway by then. Hey, it sort of sounds a bit pie in the sky, but I think there's something about citizens just getting together and doing it that's hard to ignore if it's enough people get drawn in.
I think the reason that politicians, and certainly some of the agencies that were involved and some of the ministers that were involved, liked it was that they had a defensible position. They didn't have to say, "This, you know, my department has come up with this set of..." They could say, well, actually, this has been decided through a community engagement process. And so it's about what's in it for government, really.
Yes, that's what I mean. Make yourself so useful.
Yeah, they're not just going to do it for the sake of it or because it's a great idea or because it's about democracy. It's look to the more sort of baser instincts, if you like, of politicians about defensibility and how they justify the decisions that they make.
So I'm aware that it's 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
So did you want to just say your question?
One question. I'm particularly conscious and interested in the significant differences between citizens' jury, which involves ranking selections, by-election and so on, and then stratification. Right now, there's a table of topics there which are actually self-selecting people. Now, it seems there's a whole spectrum of deliberative, inclusive processes that can be used that don't need to have this highly specialised and expensive form. And can I just make mention that I spend a lot of time with Original Australians, and they have a system which is participative and inclusive, and they don't need sortition. The reason is they don't need sortition is that there aren't enough of them. Sortition is actually an artifact, not an artifact, but a product of a huge population where you have to draw some kind of recommendation. And what I'd like to comment on is the answer to the question in this context, what is it we can do to get these things happening more quickly?
Look, I mean, we were asked to come and talk about citizens' juries, and there, if you like, there's a spectrum of engagement. One is, inform, we'll tell you what we're doing, you'll love it, it's got these features. We're going to consult with you, and then we'll take away your ideas. Maybe we'll take some of them on board. We're going to engage with you, there'll be a bit more of a process around it, all the way up to collaborate. And in my view, citizens' juries are at the collaborate kind of, you're not giving power completely to community, like participatory budgeting, where you actually say, right, this is your decision. But it is up that end of the engaging spectrum. But it is a spectrum, and there are different techniques that are appropriate for different circumstances and different budgets, and different amounts of time to do things. But at a community level, we do see the community independent movement, which is really doing kitchen tables and deliberative practice around policy. And there are you can do kitchen table-like things in government.
Politics in the pub. Mm-hmm.
Politics in the pub, you can do. There are a whole range of different types of methodologies, none of which are as sort of high level as the, but they do get more deliberative and more thoughtful as you go up the spectrum. Yeah. So, world cafes, there's a whole lot of different methodologies. Google engagement methodologies. It's your brain.
Okay, sure. One more and then we're going to stop.
Yeah.
Sorry? Well, to me, an assembly is bigger.
Yeah.
And I would.
It's a big jury.
And like the 300 people that came for the. I actually don't think they work very well, the bigger ones, because the people don't get to talk to each other. I think you do better, personally, this is my personal opinion, running 6 juries at the same time than running one big one.
Going back to the last question about how you embed citizens' juries in the current system, of representative democracy, you look at surveys around the world of confidence in democracy, it's declining rapidly. And in a way, citizens' juries might be both an answer to that, but also it's itself much more difficult to embed when governments are moving towards more democratic systems of government. So assuming that citizens' juries can only operate in a system of continuing representative democracy may actually be a very difficult thing to do. And the alternative is, I think, that we may see a collapse. be part of the post-collapse situation is one in which these types of ideas are to form a basis for the entire new system of governments, rather than simply trying to create a system in one which is increasingly co-opted by reducing interests.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think the other thing, and I think you kind of alluded to it as well, is, you know, democracy is one particular way of viewing the world, but I do think it would pay us all to think about Indigenous ways of, or Aboriginal ways of knowing and being, and thinking about what other ways are there for a group of citizens of goodwill or community to come together and decide things and make sure that we're not missing opportunities to do things that don't have the same structures. So a citizens' jury is quite a structured kind of process to make sure that it works. But I think there are lots of ways to come together, particularly from the grassroots up. And, you know, certainly at SACOS, you know, we see that grassroots activism and grassroots engagement is really important, particularly for hearing from the voices of people who otherwise never get heard. You know, people who are experiencing poverty, injustice and inequality are not normally people that have the time or resources to engage in lots of other kinds of processes. Yes, they're going to vote on election day, but they may or may not have the time to be much engaged with the political process on the way there. But you know, there is so much wisdom, and at right now in government, you know, lived experience is the terminology that's really got resonance with policymakers, in my experience. And we need to be careful not to sort of start to just pay lip service to that word, and it doesn't mean anything. But so I do think the lived experience of the community can be harnessed, actually, to almost as a salve to the autocratic tendencies, potentially, of some governments and some political movements. Yeah.
There is interest in Victoria, in fact, it's in Victoria legislation, by which local government is actually encouraged to have processes of deliberative democracy.
Yeah.
And sort of recognition of that, on the day after this conference, this is on a Saturday, Sunday the 15th, the day has been dedicated to the use of citizens by local government. So I actually invited local government officers and councillors from around Australia, particularly South Australia, I suspect, also at Woodfield Temple.
Woodfield. And of course, local government are closer to communities, so it makes sense. They just have to be careful that they don't focus on service delivery kinds of questions, like should we have green bins or yellow bins, which sometimes can happen.
Which has been known.
Yeah, which is not to say that they would, but you just need to be a little bit careful that the questions are genuinely
good questions,
divisive enough to warrant deliberative processes.
Yeah, I'm sure that's that.
I'm sure that they've...
Democracy goes.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm sure it will be too. But, you know, just building democracy and building people's democratic muscles, including young people, and they're the other people to remember who are coming up behind us and who, in my experience with some groups, I don't know if anyone's aware of the SA Youth Forum, they invented themselves and they have a very democratic way of engaging with young people about issues that matter to young people, and they are having an influence on government, and they made it themselves. So look into them, because they're really interesting. They're not necessarily deliberative, but they are using processes that, if you looked at it, probably are. Yeah.
Okay.
Can we thank you?
I'm happy.